Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Louis Aircraft, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
About her book, Hunter. And if you'd like to call in and join us, the number is 319-527-6099. Joanna White earned a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in creative writing for entertainment at Full Sail University. The Valiant series is her first published work, which first starts off being updated on a website called Wattpad. She lives in the country of Missouri with her husband, where she continues to work on her other upcoming books. Writing has been a passion since she was 10, when she wrote her first book. Ever since then, writing has become her life outside of her family, God, and being a nerd. And here's a taste of Miss White's book, Hunter. A reckless young woman named Avarella does what no woman has ever done. She disguises herself as a man and purposefully gets herself arrested and thrown into Zagora. Her brother Gabriel was taken, and with his disease, he will not survive on his own. She has no idea what to expect inside the prison. All she knows is that once men get taken, they never come back. The hunters will find her. Genetically altered to be faster and stronger than humans, the hunters use their powers to find and kill every prisoner who enters Zagora. The only ones who can defeat them are, in fact, themselves. Jared as a hunter. It's all he's known, all he remembers. He kills ruthlessly and without regret, and one prisoner after another. When a new prisoner, Daleks, shows up, everything begins to change. Jared goes undercover to make Daleks and the other prisoners believe he is one of them, a prisoner himself. Again, to join us, the number is 319-527-6099. And now, without further ado, the number one radio host of Blog Talk, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
I just woke up. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. That's Ellen Johnson. Welcome to the show, everybody. We welcome Joanna White into the studio. We're going to talk about fantasy, adventure, thriller. And we're going to probably talk about God. Yeah. He should be in the studio really quickly. Probably within 10 minutes. So, if you...
Oh,
yeah,
Hammer.
If you'd like to come in. Yes, yes, Ellen. Oh, say hello to Stanley. Stanley's here.
I know. Yeah. I see Stanley. I didn't even see that you had called me.
Oh, yeah. I called you. And it's like every time I do, you do not answer. Hey, you know, she's not here right now. Stanley's in the studio. Do you think you have time? She's coming in the studio at what time? 7:10?
But no, about 7:20, between 7:20 and 7:30.
Do you want to do, before she gets in, do you want to do box office? Because it's Friday. Some movies are coming out today. Do you want to do it with Stanley? Because I'm just going to have a cup of hot chocolate and everything. I'll be right back. Stanley, meet Ellen. Ellen, meet Stanley. Box office time, bitches. Oh, I forgot. She's a Christian, God, family. No cussing, no swearing. Be really nice. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network with my favorite co-host, Ellen Johnson. I am Fred the Hammer.
You're Fred.
And, yeah, I'm Fred.
You're
and
Thor.
After the interview, I'm Thor. I'm the new Thor. Have you seen the new Thor? Yeah, I'm the new Thor. Stanley knows what I'm talking about. We'll have
I know
the
what you're
talking
about too. I saw the previews for Avengers Endgame last night, and they were asking, "Is that Thor?"
it's new Thor. So we'll be having the interview for. We'll be having an interview for 15, 20 minutes, and then we're going to talk about Donald Trump and his new immigration law. Oh, boy. All right. You two go to Blockbusters, and talk about what's coming up. Let me go get my coffee so I can prepare for Joanna. All right. Stanley's going to keep you company. I'll be right back. Go to it. Ellen, movies. Bye. Stanley's right there. Bye.
Here we go. Here we go. Hey, Stanley. Okay. Number 10 from this past weekend is The Curse of La Llorona. This past weekend, it made $1.8 million. This movie's been out for a month, and it only cost $9 million to make this movie. So in 1 month, this movie has made $51.4 million. Number 9. Tolkien, this past weekend, this movie made $2.2 million. Stanley, have you ever heard of this movie?
Yeah, it's the story of the person who did Lord of the Ring, Tolkien.
Oh, okay, I thought so. Yeah,
it's the story of him. Why did he write this book? Why is it inspired about? I didn't go see it. I'll wait until DVD goes, but. That's not my type.
Yeah. Well, this Brian. Brian's getting cocoa. He'll be right with
us.
This past weekend, it made $2.2 million, and it was its opening weekend. So 2.2 is what it's made so far. Number 8, Breakthrough. Over the weekend, this movie made $2.5 million. It's been out for a month. And it cost $14 million to make this movie. And in 1 month, this movie has made $37.2 million. Number 7.
Is Breakthrough the one that the guy goes in the kid goes in the ice and he got saved because they say they praised God?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's the one. He died.
No, I'm not going to go see that movie. Nope.
Yeah.
Church people, go see that movie. Religion people, go see that movie. God save him. If it wasn't for the doctor had nothing to do with it. They just had to pray God, and God went and saved him just out of nowhere. It wasn't the medicine. It wasn't all the stuff that they did. They just prayed God, and God saved him. Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay. Number
it's true. They make it sound like this. We pray God. God is his wisdom. And okay, in that case, don't put no medicine. Don't put anything. Let's praise God and see if he does it. We don't need no medicine to save the kid. We should have just praised God, and God should have said, yeah, okay, we're going to make it go okay.
Yeah, okay, if it was that easy.
That's what they mean. Oh, God chose to save my son. Really? Doctors didn't help? They didn't do the medicine? Nothing? Really? Okay. Take him off the medication, people. Let's praise God. God is supposed to do this.
Number 7, Ugly Dolls. This movie looks cute. I saw the previews for it. Over the weekend, it made $4.1 million. It's been out for 2 weeks, and it cost $45 million to make. And in 2 weeks, this movie has made $14.5 million. It's a cute little movie. It's about a bunch of ugly dolls. They're really cute. Have you seen the previews for it, Stanley?
Nope, it sounds stupid. What kind of movie is that? Ugly Doll? What the hell is this?
It's a kids movie.
I ain't gonna see that. Yeah. No. Give it to Brian. Brian loves kids movies.
Brian loves kids movies.
It's okay, Brian. It's okay, Brian. You go see The Ugly Doll. It's a kids a good movie for you. Let the adults see the very understanding movie. You go see Ugly Doll. Okay.
Oh, my God. Number six, Palms, the movie with Diane Keaton. Over the weekend, made $5.3 million. This is its opening weekend, so $5.3 million is what it's made, and it doesn't have a budget listed yet.
Is that the movie where Diane Keaton is supposed to have become a cheerleader?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Please, people. She's fucking 65 years old. I don't want to see a cheerleader who's 65 years old. Please. What are you thinking? This is horror. They shouldn't call it pub. They shouldn't call it horror cheerleader 65. That's what they should have called it. That's the new title of that movie.
Brian, would you want to go see that movie? Brian must still be getting hot cocoa. Number five, Long Shot. I've never heard of this movie, so let me...
I've never heard about that movie either. What the hell's Long Shot?
I have no idea. Let me go to Rotten Tomatoes and see what this movie is about. See what Long Shot is about. Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, so you haven't seen the previews for this movie yet, Stanley? I haven't either. I haven't even heard
of
it.
No, I don't even know that there was that movie. Long Shot? What the hell is that movie about?
Let's see. Where is it at? Where is it at? Oh, okay, here it is. Long Shot. On Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter gave it an 81%, and 69% of that 81% liked it. So let's see what Long Shot. Okay, Fred Flarsky, Seth Rogen. He's a gifted and free-spirited journalist. Oh, okay. Now I remember what that movie's about. With an affinity for trouble, Charlotte Field, who Charlize Theron, is one of the most influential women in the world. Smart, sophisticated, and accomplished. She's a powerhouse diplomat with a talent for...
I remember what it is.
Charlize Theron's running for office.
Charlize Theron's and everything, and then the guy comes with the essence that you're the person of Pretty Woman. You replace the person of Pretty Woman. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now it's the woman who doesn't have no guys because she's so popular, she's so high power, and nobody wants to date her, and then she's going to date
running,
a goofy.
She's running for office or something.
She's running to office, and nobody wants to date her, even though she's a beautiful woman. And no date. And he seduces her, and he becomes or whatever.
Yeah, over the weekend, it made $6.2 million. It's been out for 2 weeks. It doesn't have a budget listed, and $19.8 million is what it's made so far. Number four, The Intruder. I don't know what this movie's about.
It's about somebody who's selling his house to black people. The black people get the house, and he doesn't want to leave the house. And basically, he does a couple of things for them, and then he becomes like crazy person. He becomes like obsessive and things like that. I think,
let's see. Okay. Well, the tomato meter gave it a 29%. So they're not giving it very high ratings. When a young married couple, Michael Ealy and Megan Good, buys their dream house in the Napa Valley, they think they have found the perfect home to take their next steps as a family. But when the strangely attached seller, Dennis Quaid, continues to infiltrate their lives, they begin to suspect that he has hidden motivations beyond a quick sale. Okay, so that's what that movie's about. Okay, The Intruder. Over the weekend, it made $7.1 million. It's been out for 2 weeks. Its budget was $8 million to make. And in 2 weeks, this movie has made $21.5 million. Okay, number three, The Hustle. Over the weekend, this movie made $13 million. It was its opening weekend, no budget listed, so $13 million is what it's made. Number two, Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Over the weekend, it made $54.3 million. This was its opening weekend. It cost $150 million to make this movie, and $54.3 is what it's made so far. And number one movie, the third week in a row, Avengers Endgame.
Avengers Endgame.
Yep, $63.2 million. It's been out for
how much did they make this weekend? This week you made how much?
$63.2 million.
Jesus Christ. Jeez.
Well,
no money, man.
Yeah, over the, it's been out for 3 weeks, and its budget was, and this is a weird budget, Brian, $356 million to make this movie. And in
Really? I thought it was more than
yeah,
that.
$356 million to make. And in 3 weeks, this movie has made $723.7 million. And that is your box office for this past weekend. So...
Yep, saw it twice, Avenger Endgame. Very good movie. Saw it twice. But Brian didn't like it. Brian thought it was a 2.5. Please, Brian. I'm Brian. I didn't like it. It's a 2.5.
Brian, are you going to come to defend yourself?
I thought I was in the wrong show.
Captain is he's an old person. Why does he give the shield to a black man?
I don't know. Just give it to a black man. Why? Controversy. Why?
He couldn't give it to a white man?
Poor Brian.
Jeez. Everybody's praising the movie, giving it an 8. He's like, hey, 2.5.
I mean, what was... Okay, Stanley, what's so different from this movie than any other Marvel movie?
Well,
I mean,
it's a little bit longer. It's a little bit, the drama is because they want to know how they come back from what Thanos did on the Infinity War. And, you know, so a lot of people was waiting for that movie. A lot of people were shocked for the other movie before. It was a good Marvel movie,
I don't get into Marvel and DC movies, so...
No? You don't like DC, no Marvel, no DC? Well,
no.
Those are the movies that make the most money. For now.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't get into them.
Talking about DC, Robert Pattinson, whatever, the guy from Twilight's going to be the new Batman, I heard.
Okay. Wow.
So, I want to see that. From the author of Twilight, he's not a vampire now. Now he's Batman. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean,
I ain't a vampire anymore. I'm Batman now.
I think Ben Affleck was the best Batman.
He's a Dark Knight now.
Yeah. He's going to be he's going to be the new Dark Knight. The guy
from Twilight?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, Robert
Pattinson. Yeah, he had the role. Yeah, he had the role. So, from vampire to Batman.
I ain't bad vampire, I'm Batman now.
That's going to be interesting. Hey, you
That's
know what's
be interesting?
Interesting? I know. Maybe he'll play it dark. If he plays it dark, because I didn't think Ben Affleck was going to be a good Batman either, but he turned out to be a good Batman. So, if they go dark on him, he might make it. He might, you know what I mean? He might.
Yeah, they're
going to
make him dark. Yeah, they're going to make him dark.
Exactly.
They have to do an individual movie like they did for Aquaman and Wonder Woman, so they're going to do that for Batman, mm-hmm. I think. So.
Well, now that Marvel series is over, so Batman and the DC League or the League of Justice is going to probably take the forefront now with bringing them together in their stories. Did Ellen do
so
number
are you
one?
Shocked that your Avengers Endgame is still number one this week again?
I know, I saw that. Oh, it's going to be number. Oh, it's going to probably be number one till probably till Star Wars come out, or the Phoenix.
No,
no, there's a good new movie. John Wick 3 is out. It's very good.
I think Pikachu is going to take it.
Which one?
Pikachu.
John Wick 3 is out.
No,
so
I
think it's going to take.
I don't know.
It was very good.
So
it was very, very, very good, John.
Oh,
Wick
you
3.
Saw? Oh, I would like to have the review.
I saw it, Jesse.
Was it good, Stanley? What was
very
the review
good.
On it?
Any, if you like the one and two people, you will love the number three. If you like one and two, you will love number three.
Oh, your recommendation, I don't think I'll watch it then. You know,
why you
Stanley
did they
and
like
Ellen.
John Wick's one and two?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay.
I even liked the one. I think two is where they killed his. No, two is where they killed his dog. One,
yeah.
I think.
No,
where
one
they
killed a dog. Also, they killed the dog and they went to rob his car.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Oh,
two is when they try to kill them. They burned down his house.
Oh, okay. Apparently,
yeah, because he didn't want to kill the guy. He didn't want to take the contract for the big boss. He said, okay, in that case, your house is mine, and I basically burned down your house. That's a good way to do it.
Okay. Well, our breaking news, our guest has had to reschedule. She is stuck at work, so she had to reschedule. She will not be on today, but we're still doing the two sections. If you look at our studio, you will see that we're doing it for 90 minutes. We have a double header, so we have another guest coming in right after that, too. So it's going to be two 90-minute shows, and we'll do the same thing. The second guest after this show will come on. Her name is what, Ellen? Or his name?
His name is, I hope I get this right, his name is Ketan Desai, and his book, Germs of War, talks about, you know, has something to do with ISIS and 9/11 and, you know, biological warfare and all that. So.
Okay, he'll be on at what time will he be on?
8:30 Pacific Standard Time.
8:30?
Yeah.
8:30 Pacific Time. Okay, so we have a show to do. Okay, you did number one. Stanley, I was working on my new oppression. Ellen, I'm working on oppression. Here's the Hulk. I call him the Hulk. Listen very carefully. Here's the Hulk.
Oh, boy.
That's Stephen Hawkins, everybody.
Only in cowards and beings in the galaxy, we should make sure we survive and continue.
All right, then that's the real Stephen Hawkins. Are you ready for my impression, Stanley and Ellen?
Okay.
Well, I want to see this. Go ahead.
All right, one more time, the real Stephen Hawkins.
Our only chance of long-term survival is not to remain inward-looking on planet.
At Stephen Hawkins. Let me see if I can try this, okay?
Okay.
Hello, Stanley. I am Stephen Hawkins. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my God. You won't get an award. You won't get an Oscar for that present representation. Sorry, Brian. You won't. Sorry.
You couldn't tell the difference.
Give him an Oscar. He's the best. Give him an Oscar.
Wait a minute.
You're getting no Oscar for that. No Golden Globe also.
Yes.
No Golden Globe. No Oscar.
Okay.
No Grammys. No nothing.
Brian,
okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you okay today?
No,
okay?
I thought it was a good impression. Wait a minute. No, hold on, hold on.
And then Earth, but to spread out into space.
To spread out in space. Thank you. The Hulk. I'm brilliant. All right.
Are you hitting your throat and doing that blah, blah, blah?
All right. No, I thought that was, you couldn't tell the difference of the Hulk. All right, Stanley, here we go. Thank you for coming in, my friend. Today is Friday, everybody. Friday, we
Stanley,
don't have a guest, so today
Stanley
we got 1 hour of the show.
Ryan,
huh?
He must be hot again.
Mm-hmm.
He's in early. He must be hot under the collar.
No, I think
early.
Stanley wants, he misses us. I don't think he's hot. His voice sounds nice and calm. He's not upset until we do this.
No, I'm not upset.
Right,
I'm just waiting for the immigration bill that the president's trying
all
to push.
Right.
I can't wait for the debate on that. Finally, Congress is going to do some work. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. We're going
to.
I can't say Congress. What the hell has Donald Trump done? What work has he done?
Do you want me to go through all the stuff that he's accomplished? I could think of this a whole hour. I have no problem going that.
Sure, Stanley. Stephen Hopkins, everybody. Wait a minute. Let me see. I'll tell you what he did. He did an immigration.
Just do a you just have to do a research on Google. What has Trump accomplished in this 4 or 3 years? And you have the list of things that he's accomplished. If any lazy person could find it. If you are saying, Ellen, if you're saying what has he accomplished, you're really bad in the news. He's accomplished a lot. I think he's accomplished more than President Obama did in the first term.
Okay, well, here it is right here. You decide. I'm going to try to introduce him. I'm going to try to introduce him as Stephen Hopkins. Today, we're going to hear Donald Trump. Stephen Hopkins, everybody. The Hulk. Thank you. All right, here he is right here. Here he is right here.
Oh, my God.
Spring day in the Rose Garden to unveil our plan to create a fair, modern and lawful system of immigration for the United States, and it's about time. If adopted, our plan will transform America's immigration system into the pride of our nation and the envy of the modern world. Our proposal builds upon our nation's rich history of immigration while strengthening the bonds of citizenship that bind us together as a national family. Throughout our history, we have proudly welcomed newcomers to our shores. Out of many people from many places, we have forged one people and one nation under God, and we're very proud of it. We share the same home. We share the same destiny, and we pledge allegiance to the same great American flag. Our policies have turbocharged our economy. Now we must implement an immigration system that will allow our citizens to prosper for generations to come. Today we are presenting a clear contrast. Democrats are proposing open borders, lower wages, and frankly, lawless chaos. We are proposing an immigration plan that puts the jobs, wages, and safety of American workers first. Our proposal is pro-American, pro-immigrant, and pro-worker. It's just common sense. It will help all of our people, including millions of devoted immigrants, to achieve the American dream. We are grateful to be joined this afternoon by a tremendous number of people from the House, the Senate, and my cabinet. And I love you all, but I won't introduce you all because I'll be here all day long. But you're all here. Our plan achieves two critical goals. First, it stops illegal immigration and fully secures the border. And second, it establishes a new legal immigration system that protects American wages, promotes American values, and attracts the best and brightest from all around the world.
Oh. People with type 2 diabetes are excited about the potential of once-weekly Ozempic. In a study with Ozempic, a majority of adults lowered their blood sugar and reached an A1C of less than 7 and maintained it.
Oh, under 7?
And you may lose weight. In the same one-year study, adults lost on average up to 12 pounds.
Oh, up to 12 pounds?
A two-year study showed that Ozempic does not increase the risk of major cardiovascular events, like heart attack, stroke, or death.
Oh, no increased risk.
Oh. Ozempic should not be the first medicine for treating diabetes or for people with type 1 diabetes or diabetic ketoacidosis. Do not share needles or pens. Don't reuse needles. Do not take Ozempic if you have a personal or family history of medullary thyroid cancer, multiple endocrine neoplasia syndrome type 2, or if you are allergic to Ozempic. Stop taking Ozempic and get medical help right away if you get a lump or swelling in your neck, severe stomach pain, itching, rash, or trouble breathing. Serious side effects may happen, including pancreatitis. Tell your doctor if you have diabetic retinopathy or vision changes. Taking Ozempic with a sulfonylurea or insulin may increase the...
The proposal begins with the most complete and effective border security package ever assembled by our country or any other country for that matter. So important. This plan was not developed, I'm sorry to say, by politicians. We have a lot of politicians. But you respect the people and you know the people that have developed this plan. It was designed with significant input from our great law enforcement professionals to detail what they need to make our border, which is 100% operationally secure, 100%. Everyone agrees that the physical infrastructure on the border and the ports of entry is gravely underfunded and woefully inadequate. We scan only a small fraction of the vehicles, goods, and all of the other things coming across, including people. And sadly, the drugs pour across our border. We're going to stop it. Investment in technology will ensure we scan 100% of everything coming through, curbing the flow of drugs and contraband while speeding up legal trade and commerce. It's the most heavily traded monetarily border anywhere in the world, and it's not even close. To make certain that we are constantly making the upgrades we need, our proposal creates a permanent and self-sustaining border security trust fund. This will be financed by the fees and revenues generated at the border crossings itself. Importantly, we're already building the wall, and we should have close to 400 miles built by the end of next year, and probably even more than that. It's going up very rapidly. And I want to thank the Army Corps of Engineers for doing a fantastic job on the wall. And that's a wall that is desperately needed. As we close the gaps in our physical framework, we must also close the gaps in our legal framework. Critical to ending the border crisis is removing all incentives for smuggling women and children. Current law... That's right. Women and children. People have no idea how bad it is unless you're there and unless you are a member of law enforcement. They see it every day and they can't believe what they see. Current law and federal court rulings encourage criminal organizations to smuggle children across the border. The tragic result is that 65% of all border crossers this year were either minors or...
current law encourages people to smuggle children across the border? Was the current law, our current law, encourage children to be smuggled across the border? Stanley, come on.
Okay.
Come on. Come on.
No, the current law basically, but current law allows young kids allows the illegal to bring kids to declare to come to our country illegally.
No, he says current law encourages.
He said encourages
people to smuggle kids across the border.
Exactly, encourages.
Well, here's what he said. This is what he said.
400 miles built by the end of next year, and probably even more than that. It's going up very rapidly. And I want to thank the Army Corps of Engineers. They're doing a fantastic job on the wall. And that's a wall that is desperately needed. As we close the gaps in our physical framework, we must also close the gaps in our legal framework. Critical to ending the border crisis is removing all incentives for smuggling women and children. Current law, that's right, women and children. People have no idea how bad it is unless you're there and unless you are a member of law enforcement. They see it every day and they can't believe what they see. Current law and federal court rulings encourage criminal organizations to smuggle children across the border.
Well, I don't know what law that is. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Current long. Current long. Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Oh, I understand. Well, it's the law that's in place, Brian. It's a
but
law.
But they encourage.
Encourage. It means it makes people have an incentive to do something. Encourage.
Right.
Yeah,
because there's a big thing in our border that kids ride free. If you're under this height, you can come on over. We encourage this.
The laws that
No, the law says that we encourage them. Tell them, Joe. Tell him, Joe. Joe, please tell him. He doesn't know.
It doesn't matter. I'm tired of telling Brian.
I know. When we're the more informed, and Joe's like, and Brian's like, acting like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, guys. Okay, Brian is trying to say that Donald Trump is being a dumbass when he says that our law encourages that. Our law does not encourage that.
I understand that, Ellen. And
yes,
I'm saying that the current law, if the current law allows people to come, once they step foot on the soil, to plead asylum when they don't really come from countries that persecution, that's encouraging people to do it. Do you not know what the word encourage means? It means you give persons a motivation.
Exactly.
We want you to bring your children.
After 21 days that we won't be able to keep you, and because there's a law that says after 21 days you can't keep the person, and you have to come back to court and everything, and a lot of them don't show.
Oh, good point. As a matter of fact, what was on the news yesterday was that after 20 days, there's a catch and release program for kids. When kids come here,
exactly.
20 days, if they can't, if they don't, if the federal government doesn't bring them to court within 20 days, they have to release them in our interior.
Exactly.
So we have, so let me get this straight. We're going to arrest them from coming over illegally. After 20 days, we're just going to release them in our streets. Okay, there you go. Survive.
Exactly.
Exactly. And they have to show up back and everything, because under the law, you're not allowed to keep somebody more than 20 days.
And what is their incentive to show up in court then? What is their incentive?
There is no incentive. That's the problem.
There's no incentive.
Okay, because I have a court date if I show
up. In court. And then, like, we're going to obey the law, even though we didn't obey the law before. I think I'm going to not show up in court. And then you become an illegal person that we never get.
You guys are too funny. All right, a little bit more, then we'll discuss this, because Denning loves his speech. A little bit more. Hold on.
The tragic result is that 65% of all border crossings this year were either minors or adults traveling with...
65% were either minors or adults. What's in between? Teenagers? You're either a minor or you're an adult. I mean, I'm just listening to what he said.
Yeah, that means that 65% were either minor or adult.
Women and children. People have no idea how bad it is unless you're there and unless you are a member of law enforcement. They see it every day and they can't believe what they see. Current law and federal court rulings encourage criminal organizations to smuggle children across the border. The tragic result is that 65% of all border crossings this year were either minors or adults traveling with minors. Our plan will change the law to stop the flood of child smuggling and to humanely reunite unaccompanied children with their families back home and rapidly. Soon as...
Well, okay. We're going to throw you back over the wall. Go find your family. So you can be back to your family. We caught you. We'll put you in a cage. Let the kid out. All right, now go find your family. Come on,
like
guys. Really?
Like we're fishing over the wall.
No, we're going to tell them and we're going to pick them up and bring them back to the country they're born and everything. It's not our responsibility. Wait, are you saying that
we put them out, we take them to the border and that's it, and we release them. We don't hunt for their families
in
Mexico.
No, we just bring them back to the country that they are. I'm going to fucking bring it to the border, and that's it.
All right.
You got to do your research.
I'm listening.
All right.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Yes. Talking about encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
If people come over here for welfare,
mm-hmm.
would you say that the welfare law is an encouragement?
Mm-hmm. No. I don't think people are coming over here. I don't think people are coming over here to get welfare. The welfare is the last part of their mind. They're coming over here to get asylum. They're coming over here to get safe. They're coming over here to start a new life. I don't think there's a big pamphlet saying, "Hey, go to America and you guys get on welfare." I don't think that's encouragement at all.
Well, then I can't say anything else. If you believe.
Well, it's true.
Nothing I can say.
Well, that's
it's like when I had that discussion with the guy about 9/11. I had a debate with this guy. And he's saying that, the planes, they flew into the towers, but it wasn't set up by the government at all. And I said, all right, maybe yes, maybe no. But don't you find it suspicious that the government all of a sudden picks up a passport about that's not even tinged, that supposedly came from the plane that blew up, and it belonged to one of the people who supposedly hijacked the plane. You find that suspicious? The guy
says...
No,
he had it in his back pocket. But what did he say?
Well, that's... You just like the fucking guy. Putting it in his back pocket.
Go ahead.
He says, you know... Because the plane is a cylinder, it's automatically sealed, and the passport could have fallen out of the plane and dropped onto the sidewalk to be picked up, you know, by people without any fire damage. I said, if you believe that, there's nothing else I can say to you. Everything else is blown up. Everything else is in flames except for this piece of paper, this five-page little document called the passport. Didn't even have dust on it. But if you believe that, no problem. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could cherry-pick certain things that we don't know where that passport was. It could be stuck between some kind of cushion or whatever. But I hear you, Joe. I hear you, Joe. But I don't believe you. I do believe that. I believe what he said. He's an engineer. I'm not an engineer at all.
Who's an engineer?
Our guest that you were just making, Mr. Horman. You just, the one, he's an aeronautics engineer. That's his specialty. Building planes. Our last guest that you were referring to.
No, not our last guest. It was a guy on a different show that I was on a couple of years ago.
Oh, on a different show. Oh, I thought you were talking about our. Oh, okay. Okay, I thought you were talking about our guest. Well, you know, it's what you believe.
I wasn't even there
it's one
for
of those
show.
Things. Yeah, I think you. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Oh my God. Okay, wait. Here's the
Brian. Have you got early dementia or something?
I just woke
I
up.
Know.
I have
oh,
no.
By the
okay,
way,
you know what? I'm gonna let Ellen take the show. Okay, I'm gone. I'm leaving. I'm here. I go. I'm gonna step out of here. Joe dropped.
You're
Joe
not.
Said, "Are you on dementia?" And he dropped. I don't
yeah.
know, Stanley. What are you? It's one of those things. If you believe that the government did 9/11, you're gonna believe it. If you believe that the planes were crashed
I don't know that the government did 9/11, but I have a hard time believing that. Two World Trade and it just goes down like a cart. That I have a problem with that. That a lot of engineers think that's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like people around here saying that the federal government, the Army Corps of Engineers, was the ones that blew up the levees and flooded New Orleans during Katrina. You know, I have a really hard time believing that shit.
You know, a lot of experts are saying that's impossible. What happened? It's impossible. Two planes go to those things. It's not supposed to go down like a piece of cart.
So you kind of believe?
Oh, by the way,
that
you said
was,
you had a guest on, Brian. You had a guest
on. Oh no,
on
our guest had schedule, so it's just us.
Did you have a guest on that was defending the 9/11?
Yes, I did. Our last guest was J. E. Harling. He was an engineer. He built airplanes. I asked him about the 9/11 situation, how the building came down since he builds airplanes. And he said it is possible because of the jet fuel that the planes, when they crashed into the building, that it was such the planes were so he, that's what he said. So it's one of those things. If you're a conspiracy theorist, you're not going to convince
well,
them that it could be something.
Too bad I wasn't there. You know? Because there are something like 50 or more architects that dispute and refute the NIST report.
Well, again,
so,
that's one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Look.
I hear you. I hear it's like we have it's the same example that we have over 400 or 600 lawyers who said that Trump obstructed justice and that he should be indicted.
Now we have 600 former attorney generals who said that if he weren't president, he could be found indicted for obstruction.
Right.
But because he is president, he isn't.
So
which
he's above the
to
law.
Any president that's there. No, it's not that he's above the law. The Mueller report said it was up in the air about obstruction. Everybody wants to hang their hat on obstruction when everybody was going for he's guilty of colluding with the Russians. And then when the report comes out saying definitively he had nothing to do with it, everybody still wants to go nuts. So go ahead, go nuts.
And they're going nuts, Joe. They're going nuts because they say now it's obstruction. He obstructed the thing, and then you come back to those people and say, "How can you obstruct something when you didn't do any crime? You obstructed something that you did no crime."
Well, you guys believe that he did not try to obstruct justice at all.
No. Because under the law and everything, as the president, he has the right. Because under the law, the president, he has the right to fire Comey for any reason. He can fire Comey because he doesn't like his shoes. You know what? I don't like your shoes. I'm firing you.
Well, it's a legal thing. Also, McGahn, which is the center of this particular debate, which everybody was going nuts about, that he told McGahn to fire Mueller. McGahn said that Trump did not tell him to do that. But yet, liberals don't seem to understand that. They don't understand English. McGahn said Trump did not tell me. But yet,
Joe, even if he told him to do, under the law, the president has the right basically to replace Mueller and to get him fired. He has the right to do that.
Well,
that doesn't mean because you fire Mueller that means that the investigation would stop. That would mean that you fire Mueller and the investigation would still continue. Firing a special counsel doesn't mean that the special counsel stopped. It means that you need to replace it by another person who's going to do the special counsel.
That still bothers me. I don't care if it was Trump or anybody else. If somebody, even if he was innocent, which he was found innocent, the legal question is, could he be found guilty of obstruction even when he's exonerated?
He shouldn't.
Uh-oh. Joe keeps dropping.
Joe keeps dropping. I know.
Yeah, sorry, Joe. Sorry, Joe. Oh. He shouldn't. I have a problem with all of this, Brian, and everything. The President of the United States has superpower. He could fire Mueller. He could fire Comey.
Mm-hmm.
If he has that power and everything, you can't call that obstruction. How could you call obstruction when under the law he has the right to do those things? And it seems Democrats don't know the law. Don't know. That would be the first thing I would say as an AG, as an AA people. Why do you think that's a distractor? Under the law, the president has the right to follow anybody he wants and under the law. He has the right to fire Mueller. But like I said, he could fire Comey for any reason he wants. And he couldn't fire Mueller for any reason he wants. Not because you fire somebody, that means the investigation of the special counsel would still stop. You need to replace that by another person. That's not obstruction.
Okay. All right, buddy. Okay. So here's Joe. Okay.
Go ahead,
Joe. Okay, Joe, welcome back.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to keep quiet because every time I talk, I get cut off. I think it's the service I'm using, so I'm going to just keep quiet.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
No, you don't have to keep quiet.
Hey,
I mean, we're here for a reason. Keep, you know, it's a pain in the ass. I know.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm going to keep quiet because I don't have anything to say. I'm just saying that if I get loud, I have a feeling that the speaker on my earbuds somehow make my phone or the service that I'm using cut me off. So I'm just going to keep quiet unless I really have something to say, or I'm going to keep my voice low. So.
Okay. Well, we're praying a little bit.
And there's a lot of things that we need to tell the truth about. It's not because the President of the United States said, I'm going to give you permission for now to talk to anybody. That means that special, that means that he gives you full permission after. I give you permission now to just talk to everybody I want. I can get back my permission if I want to have executive orders and everything to stop that if I want to.
Okay.
Because I hear
Fair
Democrats
enough.
Already saying, well, you know, Donald Trump already gave us permission to talk to anybody he wants to promote the Mueller case. Yes, but that doesn't mean that after that he doesn't have executive power also after to say, okay, the Mueller case is done. I'm not giving you anything more, Democrats. He has the power to do that. It's not because he waived it. He didn't waive it. He gave it just that way for the Mueller report, not for anything else. The Democrats are always coming back and saying, well, he waived it, so that means he waived it for everything. No. He still has executive power to say, you know what, you don't have no right to talk to my White House advisor.
All right, that's fair.
And it's going to go all the way to the court, and they're going to lose. I'm sorry to say Congress is going to lose. It goes to the court, Congress is going to go all the way to the court, and they're going to lose. Because people are going to be like, what did the president do wrong? Under the law, he has the right to do this. And your problem is?
Well, not really, Stanley. There are three branches of government. And the reason we have the legislature or the House, what do they say, that the House is the indictment and the Senate is the jury or something like that? Joe, I'm trying to figure out what they say. They, they coined the phrase. But you do have three branches of government, and it does have to balance out, Stanley. They're basically the watch keepers, and Trump.
Not after 2 years that we had the Mueller report, Brian. Not after 2 years we didn't
even
We have to ask the question, Brian. And I want to ask to everybody, Brian, Joe, and everything. When is it harassment? When is it to the point that we're going to say, wait a minute, you're harassing?
It's no such thing as harassment as a president, Stanley. All
yes,
presidents.
Yes, there is such thing as harassment.
Come on. He coined
are you
a childhood
you're
phrase.
Congress, you're allowed
really?
To do
the president's being harassed.
Guys, let's not talk over each other, okay?
I'm asking you the question. Are you saying that because you're the president, because you're Congress, you're allowed to arrest or to say anything that you want, to do any investigation that you want? You're not. After all, we got to say, what is the point as harassment? You're telling me Congress has full power to do whatever they want, and they don't.
Well, Stanley, here's a metaphor. You know, if you ask a girl, hey, come on, let's go out, and she says no. Come on, do you want to go out? The movie starts at 9. You're harassing me. There's no lie. He just coined that phrase, Stanley, to president. When did you ever hear the word president harassment? You're the president
well,
of the
it
United
is.
States.
Wait a minute. For 2 years, we've told this president he was a traitor. For 2 years, or his whole family and everybody that he knew. Yo, Brian, a lot of people lost money. A lot of people lost their lost everything that they owned. A lot of people can't do anything anymore because of the Mueller report. Let's not kid ourselves. You know how much it costs to get a lawyer per hour?
Well, let's ask Joe. Joe, is there such a thing as president harassment, or is this a coined phrase that Donald Trump said, as an 8-year-old would do, because he's under a lot of scrutiny?
Well, Congress has the right to investigate, but when you have the Mueller report plus three other investigations against Trump, the Senate investigation, the IG report, and another investigation, I think FBI investigation, and they all exonerated him of collusion, then anything else that's after that, I think, has to be harassment. When, at what point do you stop and say, we've got all these reports that have exonerated the President of the United States? Why are they continuing to go after him? I think it's harassment. Did I get drop off again? This fucking phone.
You didn't drop off, but you're still here.
Oh, okay. I heard that.
No, we're hearing you. I'm listening to what you're saying. I agree 100% with what you're saying, Joe. And I don't understand why Brian has a problem with what you said. Don't forget, Brian,
because
we have
no
four investigations. We have four investigations. We had the Mueller report and three other investigations that said he didn't do any collusion. What point do you as a person say, wait a minute, it's enough?
Hey, he was exonerated. You know that he's not saying that he's not even saying that anymore. Did you read the Mueller report? I was going to do it. It's 27 minutes. We can go over it again. I'm not going to play the rest, unless you want to hear the rest of Trump's speech regarding immigration. If you haven't heard it, it's ridiculous.
No, we heard it.
But I do. Okay, I do want to put in. I'm going to give you some information here, and Ellen's going to entertain you because it's going to take me only a minute. Ellen. Start to entertain the people.
Yes.
We got Joe and
come
entertain
on.
Them. Let them throw you dollars. We need
do
the
you
money.
Think.
Yeah, you're paying everything. We don't need to entertain.
I'll put some dollars in your G-string.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't wear G-strings. Thank you very much.
All right. And you are wherever.
Now, how am I supposed to entertain you? Me entertain
you. You're the co-host. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Brian, you realize we only have 20 minutes, right?
Yes, entertain.
Huh?
Yes, entertain. I'm almost there.
Entertain? Okay. So, Joe.
Yes, dear. That's a dear.
What? What did you call me?
What, honey? I called you what, dear?
I thought you said something else after that.
I said, what, dear? What, honey?
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else.
Like what?
I don't know. That's why I was thinking, what did you call me?
Okay. Come on, entertain us.
Let me entertain you. That's all
right.
The words I know.
Hello, lady.
Hey, lady. How you doing?
Oh, God. So, in any case, we're never going
hey,
to...
Hey, Joe, you want to so Joe, you want to hear my Stephen Hawkins impression?
God.
Danny loves it.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Joe, you want to hear my Stephen Hawkins impression?
Yeah.
It's spot on. Here we go.
That was...
How do you like that? Spot on. Spot on.
Did he ever sound like
that?
I don't know.
Are you getting this entertainment for free? Oh, quit complaining.
And again, I'm going to ask, are you okay?
Okay. Quit complaining. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Forgive me. I don't know what I was doing.
It's great. Stanley said it's Oscar material. That's what Stanley said. Oscar. Stanley Novation.
No, I didn't say that. I say I would give you no Oscar, no. Like, come on. No Grammy, no Oscar, no Globe and Globe, no,
nothing.
Nothing.
No,
no
nothing.
Grammy.
Not even the Black Panther Award. No, nothing. You don't appreciate Stephen Hawkins. The Hawk. That was a great impression. The Hawk. All right. We just had, here it goes. Flynn just came on the news yesterday with the Mueller report. And this is done by Rachel Maddow. She's going to explain a little bit of it. So I just like your opinion, Joe, and your opinion, Mr. Stanley.
Joe dropped.
We're talking about
Brian.
He'll be back. Come on, Joe. You could do it. I know it's a pain in the ass. He'll come back. His friends
there
are here.
There he is.
His friends are here. Okay, good. See? Joe won't let us down. His friends are here. Here we go. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Listen
never,
to this.
Never get a free app. Never get an app. Free app. Oh, God.
I know.
Pain in the ass.
But here we go, you guys. I want to give you guys just a little taste, and you guys tell me what's wrong with this. Let me see if I can get it in here. Nothing's working today. Wait a minute.
Oh,
hold on.
Yeah.
Nothing's working today.
Nothing's working today. I know. Nothing's working today.
Stephen Hawking's impression's working.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do my Stephen Hawking.
Thanks for joining us this hour.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Listen to this.
You might remember that there was sort of a freaking debacle in a Washington, D.C. federal courtroom. Trump National Security Advisor Mike Flynn showed up in court to be sentenced by a federal judge. And when he got there, Flynn appeared to be in good spirits. And that was understandable. Prosecutors had filed a public-facing document that praised him for his cooperation since he pled guilty. Prosecutors said, yes, yes, Mike Flynn committed and pled guilty to very serious crimes. But once he got caught, he pled guilty right away. He cooperated substantially with prosecutors on multiple cases and investigations. And prosecutors told the judge that they wanted the judge in the Flynn case to take into account when sentencing him what a good cooperator Mike Flynn had been. So when Flynn showed up in court that day in December, you know, you could understand why he was a little buoyant, right? Everything was going to go great. This is finally all going to be behind him. It did not go great.
Until,
the judge at one point during that sentencing in mid-December told Mike Flynn, quote, I'm not going to hide my disgust, my disdain. That was right before the judge asked one of the prosecutors standing there in the courtroom whether he had assessed whether Flynn's actions actually might rise to the level of treason. The prosecutor said in response, effectively, hamana, 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 hamana. The judge later walked that back, but he didn't walk it back that much. This judge said to Flynn in the courtroom that day, he pointed to the American flag in the corner of his courtroom, and he said to Flynn, arguably, this undermines everything this flag over here stands for. He told Flynn, quote, arguably, you sold your country out. And that went on for a while. And ultimately, Flynn finally did get the message, the very unsubtle message from the judge that maybe that would not be the best day to go through with the sentencing. Maybe it might be better to come back a different day, see if there was any help that Flynn could maybe provide to anyone else, if there was any other investigations Flynn might possibly contribute to help his country. The one with that flag there in the corner of the courtroom, try to help the cause of justice in some way, maybe try again in a few months. That was in December. Now, Mike Flynn's case is not scheduled to be back in court until the middle of next month. That's when the next status report is due in his case. All the more surprising, that made it all the more surprising today when we got a whole new bunch of stuff from Flynn's case unsealed by that judge without warning. And it's interesting. This doesn't seem to be related to any forthcoming proceeding relating to Flynn. It doesn't seem to be driven by something else going on in Flynn's case. This just popped onto the public docket today by order of that judge. And one of the items that we got for the first time today is the previously sealed documents that prosecutor had filed with the judge in Flynn's case in advance of that doomed sentencing proceeding back in December. Prosecutors had filed a public-facing document, which is the one that said Flynn was a great cooperator. You should give him credit for that, Judge. That public-facing document didn't spell out much about what Flynn had cooperated about. They saved that for this sealed document, this document that was sealed until today, which does spell out in detail exactly what Flynn helped with, exactly what investigations Flynn cooperated in. And so now that it's been unsealed today, surprise, we're seeing that for the first time. You can see up there at the top, it's described as under seal and ex parte, but those are struck out. They're struck out because as of today, this is no longer under seal. It's been released. It's been posted publicly. So now we can see it. Quote, this addendum to the government's memorandum in aid of sentencing describes the significance and usefulness of defendant Michael T. Flynn's assistance to the government and the timeliness of that assistance. As described herein, the defendant's assistance to the government was substantial and merits consideration at sentencing. Quote, the defendant has assisted with several ongoing investigations. Number one, a criminal investigation in the Eastern District of Virginia that is likely to result in criminal charges. More on that in a second. Number two, the special counsel's office investigation concerning any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald J. Trump. And then the next line down is presumably the third thing that Mike Flynn helped with, maybe? The next part after the comma there, he helped with this Eastern District of Virginia criminal case, comma, special counsel's office investigation, comma, and then redacted, redacted, redacted. But this new document does go on to describe, at least for the parts of it that aren't still redacted, it describes the assistance that Flynn provided in pretty good detail. It spells out, for example, that criminal investigation in the Eastern District of Virginia is the case that ultimately did result in criminal charges against Flynn's former business partner, a Trump transition official named Bijan Kion. Kion, you may remember, is charged with acting illegally as an unregistered foreign agent in this country while he was working for Flynn and also while he was working on the Trump transition, doing little unimportant tiddlywinks tasks like, oh, say, helping pick out the CIA director. Bijan Kion has pled not guilty. That case is ongoing in the Eastern District of Virginia. But prosecutors in Flynn's case gave Flynn big props for how much he helped in the Kion case. Quote, according to prosecutors in Eastern District of Virginia and the National Security Division at the Justice Department, defendant Flynn's cooperation and assistance have been critical to their investigation in the Bijan Kion case. And then there's another big redacted chunk. The EDVA and National Security Division prosecutors have interviewed the defendant. Redacted, 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 redacted. So that's how they deal with the Bijan Kion case. The second case where they say Flynn helped is the special counsel's investigation. And this is sort of fascinating. This is new, at least in this form, this is new. Quote, the defendant has also assisted with the special counsel's investigation concerning links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Defendant Flynn has assisted the special counsel's investigation on a range of issues, including interactions between individuals in the presidential transition team and Russia, discussions within the Trump campaign about WikiLeaks releasing emails, and potential efforts to interfere with the special counsel's investigation. And then they break it down. Quote, Defendant Flynn provided firsthand information about the content and context of interactions between the transition team and Russian government officials. For example, after the election, Defendant Flynn communicated with the Russian ambassador as a representative of the transition team on two sensitive matters, a UN Security Council vote on a resolution calling for Israel to cease settlement activities in the Palestinian territory, and the Obama administration's imposition of sanctions and other measures on Russia for interfering in the 2016 election. Quote, several senior members of the Trump transition team publicly released false information conveyed to them by Defendant Flynn about communications between him and the Russian ambassador.
Well, there you go. Now, that's one. So what do you guys think now?
That's one. What?
About obstruction of justice. Come on, this guy is trying.
Wait a minute, that's obstruction?
That's our obstruction, Brian. What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. Brian, let me ask you
something. No.
It says that's Rachel Maddow, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And she did say it's the transition team, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The transition team is the normal procedure for elected president. That's been going on for decades for the transition team. Mm-hmm. To have contacts with foreigners.
Mm.
So how's that obstruction?
Guilty.
Guilty of what?
Well, okay, just two more minutes. Bear with me for two more minutes. I'm going to prove my point. Here we go. Just two more minutes.
Order. That's not very long. It's only this long. And even though it's this short and it's this straightforward, I could not believe it when I first read it. I read it backwards and forwards and convinced myself this isn't very long, only this long. But this is from Judge Emmett Sullivan. He's a Washington, D.C. federal judge. He is the judge in the Michael Flynn case. And in this little order, Judge Sullivan is now ordering the government, the prosecutors in this case, he's ordering them to remove all of the redactions from the Mueller report that have anything to do with the Mike Flynn case. This judge today says, take out those redactions and then publish that unredacted version of Mueller's report. Quote, the government is ordered to file on the public docket in this case by no later than May 31st an unredacted version of those portions of the special counsel's report that relate to Mr. Flynn, signed Judge Emmett G. Sullivan. So, plot twist, right? Mueller's report gets released, or gets submitted, right? And then it gets released to the public with redactions and under strange circumstances, right? We now know the Attorney General wouldn't release the summaries from the report, which Mueller's team had written specifically so those summaries could be released to the public. He refused to release those summaries and instead wrote up his own totally misleading characterizations of the report. We have since learned that Mueller and his team were furious about the way that Barr has mishandled their report, their document, their findings. Barr initially suggested that even the redactions in the report were all things that Robert Mueller wanted. It was just purely Robert Mueller's wishes. He later admitted under reluctant questioning that, okay, there may have been conflicts over the redactions and maybe the redactions don't reflect the way Mueller wanted this to come out. Mueller has still not been allowed to testify about his own findings or the handling of his findings by the administration, nor have any members of Mueller's team. The White House is saying they will not allow any witnesses who spoke to Mueller to testify to Congress, nor will they allow any documents about what Mueller found or investigated to be handed over. They've gone so far as to retroactively try to throw a fire blanket over the entire Mueller report, even after most of it was released to the public. They're now claiming the whole thing retroactively is covered by executive privilege, which is a weird assertion, but they're doing that specifically because they hope that gives them an extra tool so they don't have to let any more of it out, so they can try to prevent anybody from testifying about it or talking about it. And in the midst of all that today, surprise, here's Judge Sullivan saying, actually, I order you to release it. I hereby direct you in this court order to remove all the redactions that relate to my case, which is the Mike Flynn case, take all of that out, make this public, you've got 2 weeks. So I know the White House is doing everything they can to try to keep everything secret, to try to, you know, stuff the toothpaste back in the tube. But look at how this is going now. The judge overseeing the Roger Stone case started off this week by herself getting an unredacted version of the Mueller report, at least as it pertains to everything having to do with WikiLeaks and Roger Stone and anything else that might touch that case that she is overseeing. That judge, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, has already had the Mueller report's redactions removed, so she can read the redacted parts as she oversees the Stone case. Now we've got another judge in the same district who's overseeing another Mueller-derived case, the Flynn case, ordering not just that he should get to see the redacted portions that pertain to his case, but he is ordering that we all get to see it too. That stuff has to be released to the public, even before the Flynn case is over, even before Flynn is sentenced. Again, this deadline from Judge Sullivan for the unredacted version of the Mueller report as it pertains to the Flynn stuff, for that, the deadline for that stuff to be released to the public is a couple of weeks before there's even the next status report on Mike Flynn, let alone before he gets another sentencing date. So even before the Flynn case is wrapped, he's saying release everything in that Mueller report, unredact everything in that Mueller report that relates to Flynn. Do it. Court order. I mean, today, literally, as I speak right now, members of the House Democrats in Congress are conducting a marathon live reading of Mueller's report, at least the portion of it that they've been allowed to see, right? The House Democrats started with this at noon. They've been going all day long reading Mueller's report out loud. They're expected to go through the night and to maybe finish sometime tomorrow morning. That's actually a live shot right now. That's Mary Gay Scanlon. I will say I watch this on and off throughout the day. Shout out to Mary Gay Scanlon.
All right. You know, what I don't like about Rachel, she goes on and on and drags the whole thing out. You repeated everything for about 20 minutes. Just get to the damn point, you know what I mean? That's one thing that drives me.
And what I don't like about Rachel Maddow is that she never invites people who disagree with her. Period. She never invites somebody who disagrees. She never invites the opposite thing, saying, no, you're wrong. She never does that. So it's very easy.
No, I agree. I do agree with you, Stanley. And that's one, I do agree 100%. Now, when she does fact-finding, I like how she does it, but she drags the damn thing out for, hours.
She drags it. She takes it an hour and this and that, and we found this, and we did that, and then that. But she never gets a hard people or let me invite somebody who knows the thing, who doesn't see it the same way that I do.
Well, here's what we have. We have another show, you guys. We were supposed to have a guest coming in. She'd be scheduled. But then we broke the show up in two shows. So the next show is starting at 6 minutes. And so we would have to call in and everything. Again, the interview is going
to
go 20 minutes.
So I have to call back
up. Yeah, I know. I got to do it too, my friend. I don't know if you have to. I'm thinking that it may swing over.
Yeah, they do have to, Brian. Yeah.
They have to call back in?
Oh, my God.
Right,
so I have
sorry,
to
yeah.
force
yeah.
myself to take the phone and call back kicking in and push the button and everything? You see the homework of work that you're making me do again?
Oh, my God.
I know.
I don't know about that, Brian. It was hard doing that. Very hard thing.
I know, buddy. Life's a bitch. After I do the interview, it's like 20 minutes. I'm going to continue our man thing because I have some things I'm going to talk about. So,
anyways, I am going to call back in, but don't be surprised if you hear a noise. I'll be in the all.
Hey, I know, buddy.
I have to go to sushi.
I know, buddy. So what I'm going to do is we have 5 minutes. So we're going to. Stanley and Joe, without anybody interrupting you, and I know that you guys could check. Oh, Stanley just dropped. Welcome back, Joe. Welcome back, Joe.
Thanks.
You know, let me tell you how ridiculous this is, and then I'll have Joe just finish this up. You know, when I hear the Democrats nattering about, we want to bring him over, we want to question him, I'm thinking in my head, why? The report has been released. It's public. Everybody can read it. So what are you doing? Okay, so you bring Mueller in, and you're going to say, did this happen? It's already in the report. We all see it. You know what I'm trying to say? So I don't know what you want to ask him. Go ahead, Joe. What do you think?
No, I'm agreeing with them. I have the same perspective.
Yeah. I mean, this is just a political circus. And even Ellen, you would have to agree with this. It's public. We can all read it. So why – I can understand Don Jr. because he's not in the report. But why even – why do you need Mueller? Why do you need this? It's public. We can all see it.
Here's my – well, not just mine. It's what I've heard other people say. So the Democrats, they want nothing. The Democrats are the political enemy in this political theater, and they want to get him, and they're going to try to get Mueller in to see if they can shake him on the witness stand and then have another reason to go after Trump. You know, but prior to the release of the report, Mueller was this guy beyond reproach, and now
– right.
And now the Democrats have thrown him under the bus.
Well, even Mueller, if anybody is following the case, he believes that the sitting president should not be impeached or indicted because it would take his concentration off of running the country. Mueller said that. That's why he did not determine. There's cause that there could be – see, the thing – I think he pussied out. And if you really think about it, Joe, Mueller is a Trump man because he could have easily – with the little breadcrumbs of evidence that can – innuendo that can go, you know, sideways depending on what tribe you're in, he could have easily said, hey, look, I'm making a decision. There's no obstruction, no collusion. Let's move on. But when he left it that open and then when he said, well – you know, Barr didn't really explain everything how I wanted in the report. He opened that door for this to go on. And I think it's a tragedy what he did. I think he's a pussy and an asshole. Just make a freaking decision or move on. You didn't find anything guilty enough? Fine, I found no collusion, no thing. Let's move on. Don't you think, Joe? I mean, people are calling him a hero, but I'm thinking now he could have made a decision. He didn't want to. What do you think?
Well, he did. He said that Trump was exonerated of conspiracy with the Russians. That's definitive.
Right.
He left the door open for obstruction, but he didn't say that Trump was guilty of obstruction. He said there's no evidence that he's guilty, but there's indications that perhaps. So that's an if. And Barr took it, ran with it, wrote up his report. The Democrats
grabbed
onto it, and now instead of letting things lie, they just want to continue on and on until they impeach him. So that's the way politics is played. Yeah.
And since we only have a minute, I'm just going to go this way. I don't really think Trump purposely colluded with the Russians. I don't think Trump purposely tried to obstruct justice. I'm going to go with my point of view. Trump's a moron. I don't think he knew the rules. He's not a politician. He's not a governor. He maybe doesn't know how government work or procedure or whatever. Okay, Joe dropped. Well, there you go. So I'm thinking he did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of stuff that he had no idea he was doing that it could lead to certain things. I'm just going to go on a limb saying that. Ellen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kill the show because of then it gives us 2 minutes to reset. I think our guest is here. Ellen, go to 111, please. And because we have to reset because the show is starting. And Ketan Desai is going to be with us. So our show is starting in about 3 minutes. Yes, everybody has to call in like they did before, like it's a new show. And we have our special guest here. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. And we'll see you in about 1 minute with a new show.
Yep, that was
Thank you, Joe.
Our guest.
That was our guest. Okay, so about 1 minute, everybody has to call in again like it's a new show. We're going to interview for about 20 minutes, Joe, and then we're going to continue this conversation in man talk. I got some man stuff I want to work out with relationships.
You've got an interview today?
Yeah, we have another show. We split the show in half, so about 30 seconds is going to go. It's going to run into another show, like you know what I mean. So you would have to call in.
Do you have an interview, or I don't know what you mean, run into another show?
It's an interview. It's an interview.
Okay.
We had two guests today, Joe, but our first guest had to reschedule, and we have another guest coming up in about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Then I'll just is it an author or is it what's the topic?
It's
of course,
an author.
It is an author.
What is it about,
Ellen? You got 30 seconds.
His book is called Germs of War, and he talks about biological warfare, ISIS, and 9/11.
Oh,
okay.
That's interesting. You want me to hang up, or do you want me to?
No, I might want you to interview. I might want you to do second interview. Let's see how you interview, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right.
All right, guys. We'll see you in 30 seconds. You have to call back in. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.